Good evening and welcome to Indie Radio News, the weekly radio news program from The Independent, a free progressive monthly newspaper and online news site based here in New York. We cover social justice movements and the issues they are fighting for, both here in the city and around the world. We are your hosts, Elia Grian and Lydia McMullen-Laird. Thank you, and welcome back to WBI, to Indie Radio News. On the second half of the show, we're going to talk about Mexico. Saturday marked a historic moment for Mexico, as Manuel López Obrador was sworn into office as its new president. I will govern with rectitude and justice. I will not fail you. I will not disappoint you. I won't betray the people, he said as he addressed the media after his triumph. In his inaugural speech, AMLO, as they know him for his initials, addressed security and vowed to end corruption and impunity. He runs on an anti-corruption campaign and has proposed raising the minimum wage, expanding access to education, ending the drug war, and addressing the root social causes of crime and violence.
Un cambio de régimen político. A partir de ahora, se llevará a cabo una transformación pacífica y ordenada, pero al mismo tiempo profunda y radical, porque se acabará con la corrupción y con la impunidad que impiden el renacimiento de México.
As he was saying in his inaugural speech, he talks about a change of governments, a new era for Mexico with different priorities. AMLO, or López Obrador, won in a landslide with 53% in July against his rivals Ricardo Anaya from the National Action Party, which received 22% of the votes, and José Antonio Meade, who was in the Institutional Revolutionary Party, which has ruled Mexico for most of the last century, who came in with a 16%. AMLO's campaign is called Juntos Haremos Historia, or Together We'll Make History, and he has more women in his cabinet than any other in Mexican history. His campaign is a three-party coalition from a left-wing Labor Party, right-wing Social Encounter Party, and Morena, the leftist national regeneration movement that he founded in 2014. To talk more about this new president and the current situation in Mexico, we have Laura Carlson, director of the Americas Program in Mexico City. She holds a master's in Latin American Studies from Stat University and is a frequent writer and commenter of U.S.-Mexican relations. She has an article in the current issue of The Independent called Mexico's AMLO Bucks the Trend, but will he buck the system? You can find it on the website independent.org. Hello, Laura.
Hi, thanks for the invitation.
Thanks for being on. I wanted to start out just so to understand the bigger picture. Why is AMLO's victory so meaningful? And in your opinion, what is it that people are looking forward for him to be, for his first steps to be?
It's particularly meaningful because the left in Mexico has been trying and running candidates to harvest the discontent within the country, which is widespread for many years now, and within a system where fraud and vote buying and manipulation of the vote has really been the norm rather than the exception. So there have actually been two elections just recently that were stolen from center-leftist candidates in 1988, not that recently, but for some of us who have a long memory, the candidacy of Cuauhtémoc Cárdenas was basically considered to have been stolen in that election. And then in 2006, the first run for the presidency of Andrés Manuel López Obrador, when authorities gave the election to the conservative Felipe Calderón by half a percentage vote, half a percentage difference, and then refused to do a broad vote recount. So it's been a long, hard road to get to where he's gotten here and where the left in some ways has gotten as well. But The other part of it is, look at the international context. Right now, what we're seeing throughout Latin America and also in other parts of the world, Europe included, there was just a recent election in Spain, is that it's been the extreme right and these almost neo-fascist currents that are really taking advantage of people's widespread desire for change with the current situation in the world today and in their specific countries. So the fact that that López Obrador won in Mexico, the second largest economy in Latin America, at a time when we're seeing these triumphs by Bolsonaro in Brazil and by other right-wing governments, shows that it's a real volatile time and that there is a possibility for a discourse of economic redistribution, of getting rid of a neoliberal economic model, to triumph in this context.
And that's sort of building up to the next question, which is that these leftist governments have been highly criticized, especially AMLO. He's been referred to as a very populist politician. And I was wondering, what is your opinion? Because people say that one of the problems is that it's similar to Venezuela's case in Chavez.
Well, I'm a political scientist by training, and I've looked long and hard, and the word populist really has no definition. It has no formal definition in political science that is agreed upon. And what we say, it's always seemed very strange to me, as also an individual who's looked a lot at movements for democracy within the world, that populist would become a criticism when populist, or being government by the people, is actually the definition of democracy. What's happened here is that López Obrador has created a number of mechanisms, and also just even the style of his campaign, to include people as well as represent excluded and forgotten sectors of the Mexican population in his government. He has a government with the highest, most equal rate of representation of women in both the cabinet and in the Morena, his party, the National Regeneration Movement, presence in Congress among almost all nations of the world. It's pretty close to 50-50 in both the cabinet and in the Congress. He's also created a mechanism that's been criticized with some grounds, but for consulting on major decisions within the government, criticized because it probably needs to be worked out and people should be informed of all the particulars before entering into a consultation. And he has proposed formally that there be a vote 2.5 years, that is halfway into his administration, to revoke his mandate if that's what the people want to do. So we really have a different style of government, especially compared to Mexico, coming out still of over 70 years of authoritarian one-party rule, and then this alteration that was agreed upon between the conservatives and the former Institutional Revolutionary Party that formerly governed, that's beginning to look like a very different style and substance for government.
And I was going to ask you, what are the challenges that AMLO is going to have to face? He has a very ambitious plan. What is it that he needs to go over to be able to end the drug war and really get education and minimum wage as one of the forefronts of his victories?
Oof, that's a really big question, and it's the one that everybody's asking now. He put forward 100 different measures, or commitments, he called them, during his speech to the people in the Mexico City's Central Plaza, or Zócalo. And among those, they go from the fairly particular, like selling the presidential plane, which was extremely expensive and a sign of the waste and the luxury of past administrations, and that's something that's already happened, to, you know, reducing violence and other very difficult and probably much longer term problems. he really does need to get the homicide rate down and reduce the violence, not just the murders, but the disappearances. There are over 37,000 disappearances within the country in the context of this violence that's attributed to both corrupt state agents and members of organized crime here in Mexico. He'll have to do that by not only purging, corrupt or complicit government agents, but also by changing the model. There's a real consensus, and this was part of the reason behind his victory, that this war on drugs model that was imposed from the United States has not only not worked in Mexico, it's clear that it hasn't worked. The homicide rate has actually gone up consistently since it was applied, and the drug flows have not gone down, but also that it's been counterproductive, that it's actually more of a cause than a solution to the problem. So there's a lot of skepticism, or there's a lot of concern, rather, on the part of especially human rights organizations about whether or what Andrés Manuel López Obrador is going to do about that problem, because he announced the formation of a National Guard, which is run by the armed forces, and one of the major criticisms of the way the war on drugs was carried out in Mexico was that the armed forces were so involved in domestic policing. So there's concern about that. He will also need to create jobs. I was talking to a number of people in the Zócalo on Saturday, December 1st, the day of the inauguration, and it was one of the most frequent topics to come up.
Well, thank you so much, Sara. We're going to have to leave it here because we're running out of time, and look forward to see how AMLO's government develops over the years. Thank you so much for listening to WBAI Radio.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for listening. You can catch us every Monday at 6 p.m. right here on WBAI 99.5 FM for all the latest from indie radio news. You can find this month's print edition of The Independent at our outdoor news boxes across the city and in local libraries, independent bookstores, and social movement centers. Follow all our latest coverage online at independent.org, that's indie with a Y, and via social media. To let us know what you think of today's show, send news tips, or find out how to subscribe to The Independent's print edition, we can be reached at 212-904-1282 or contact at independent.org. Thank you so much to WBAI for hosting our show, and see you next week.
Building bridges your community and labor report. From your workplace to your neighborhood, listen to the show that brings it all together. Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Bringing you news and analysis, local, national, and international. Monday nights, 7 p.m. We build bridges.
Come on, neighbors. Let's get wise.
So, the plaster is falling, the paint is peeling, the plumbing is leaking, the heat and hot water keep cutting off, the elevator keeps breaking down, and the landlord won't return your calls, but the rent keeps going up and up and up?
Find out what you can do about it. Tune in to Housing Notebook, Mondays at 8 p.m.
Reactionary landlord.
Hi, this is Jesse Eisenberg. You're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, and on the web at WBAI.org.
And you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org. If you missed any of the indie show, you can hear all of it in its entirety in about 5 or 10 minutes on WBAI.org. All of WBAI shows are archived on WBAI.org. And this way you can hear the show and then tell your friends, and then they can listen at their leisure. Coming up now is, I think, one of the most underrated shows here on WBAI, Counter.